My name is Bill Hamilton, and I have the pleasure of interviewing on behalf of the Mill Valley Oral History Group, two of Marin County's most outstanding citizens. We all started grammar school together, then went on to high school, and then on to the university. One was my partner for 16 years, and the other has been my lawyer for more years than I care to remember. Let's start by asking Kent. Will you state your name, Kent, and where were you born, and your age?
My name is Kent Osborne Seymour. Born in Mill Valley in the year 1902, date July 10th.
And
I was actually delivered in the old Hahnemann Hospital in San Francisco, which burned in the fire and earthquake 4 years later.
I have to ask this in parts, because his twin brother here, Elliot, is now going to tell his part. Elliot is junior. Kent was 10 minutes older and has certain inherent rights.
I must correct that. It was 15 minutes earlier.
Okay. Elliot, you tell us your name, et cetera.
I'm Elliot Wesley Seymour. My first name is my mother's maiden name, surname. My middle name of Wesley was given to me as named for John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist religion in England. At least so I have been told by my family.
Have you followed its precepts?
I say I have a religious background, but I cannot say that I've never been associated with the Methodist religion. Although I think it's a very fine religion. I have very fine church, and I have very many friends that are members of it.
Well, but I might mention, brother, that Grandpa Elliot, mother's brother, my mother's father, brother was a minister of the Methodist faith and practiced in, that's not the word, is it? In Dutch Flat, California, up in the Mother Lode.
Well, will you two guys, between you, fill us in on your family? I know that you're descended from a prominent Sacramento family, but would you give us all the details, your mother and your father and so forth?
Well, my father, Kent Jarvis Chase Seymour, was born in Sacramento on November 15, 1868. He was the youngest of three brothers. The Seymours, his mother and father, came to California in about 1860 or shortly thereafter. And all of their three children, three sons, were born in Sacramento. My father moved to San Francisco when he was about 17 years of age.
Do you want to add anything to that, Kent?
My recollection, when he moved to San Francisco, it was to work for...
He was a messenger for a bank.
Of some kind. Is that what he was?
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, however, he went to work for the man who became his father-in-law.
Well, Kent, would you talk about your mother, too?
Mother was born on...
Yeah.
I don't know. He knows.
His mother was born on December 17, 1871.
What was her name?
December 17, 1871. And her maiden name was Mary French Elliott.
And that's where you got your middle name?
That was her surname, and that was where I...
Yeah. And she was a Sacramento girl, too?
She was born in San Francisco.
Oh.
And her parents lived in Sacramento for a while,
Where were they married?
They were married in Alameda on New Year's Day, January 1st. And 1892.
When did they come to Marin County?
They came to Mill Valley in the summer of 1901 on a vacation from San Francisco, where they lived. At that time, they had two children, two daughters.
What were their names?
The eldest of the two was Ruth Seymour. Mrs. W.H. Close, and the other sister is named Elizabeth Seymour, now Elizabeth Crosley.
And where does she live?
She resides in Kingsport, Tennessee, and has for some number of years. Her husband was a naval officer at the time of their marriage, which was approximately February
1921.
And they were married at your old family house, were they not?
They were married in the old family home on 95 Oakdale Avenue.
And Stuart lost his eye subsequently in an explosion on board one of the naval ships.
Yes, off the coast, off the California coast near San Diego, or Lower California. And he was the engineering officer and had some trouble in the boiler room, and he went down the ladder to investigate, and
boiler tube
or glass exploded and a piece lodged in his eye, and he lost the sight of his right eye, as I recall it, his right eye.
Oh,
that was in 1920, Bill, some months before he and Beth were married. Beth married him, and they went on their honeymoon during his convalescent period.
Oh, well, that's good. Would you talk about your education?
Well, we entered the grammar school in the beginning of the school year of 1908.
Which school?
And it was just about the time the Tamalpais Park School had been completed, and because of our location of our home, we were delegated to attend that school, Tamalpais Park School, which only had four grades at that time. And we were attended there for 4 years, and then we were transferred to the old Mill Valley School on Tamalpais Avenue for the fifth grade, but only there for about 10 days, and they established a fifth grade at the Tamalpais Park School, and we were all sent back to the Tamalpais Park School. That's my recollection.
Established two more grades, the fifth and sixth.
Fifth and sixth.
Well, you said Tamalpais Avenue?
No, you meant Summit.
You meant Summit.
Summit and Cornelia.
Cornelia, yes. That's right.
Correct.
Well, when you graduated from grammar school, what'd you do then?
We graduated from the Summit School for the last 2 years.
For the last 2 years.
The seventh and eighth grade.
And then what did you...
We completed that, the eighth grade, in June of 1916, and entered Tamalpais Union High School in August of 1916.
And
we attended there for 4 years. We graduated in June of 1920, and entered the University of California in 1920 in September.
I guess I better do this by name. You both joined a fraternity over there, did you not?
Yes, we both were joined the Chi Phi Fraternity Lambda Chapter, which, by the way, was Lambda Chapter was founded 100 years ago, this 1975, and
next month we will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of Chi Phi at the University of California.
Lambda Chapter. Chi Phi Fraternity was founded
1824.
When you were there, you both pursued, I know you wound up with ultimately different professions, but you both pursued an academic course then? Or did you, Elliot?
Well, I decided I wanted to be a civil engineer. And I took engineering for 2.5 years. And then determined that I didn't consider that it was to my liking, and I switched to graduated in economics in 1924. And strange as it may seem, the first work or job I ever took was as a rodman for a surveying crew for the Southern Pacific, when the Southern Pacific was constructing a second track over the Sierras, and we were working on one of the tunnels, and that I obtained that job through Mr. Walker Durbo, who was a well-known Mill Valley resident, lawyer, and who was
chief counsel
for the Southern Pacific Railroad at that time.
Wasn't he a great friend of your family?
Very close friend of my mother's and father's, and remained so from till his demise. He lived to be lived a long life.
Elliot, after this period, when did you go to law school?
I was working in San Francisco. I had gone to work for the F.W. Wentworth Company on 2nd Street, just between Market and Mission. The sales manager was a young fellow who had gone through the San Francisco Law School, and we became good friends, and he gave me really the inspiration to go back and start studying law. Actually, it was brought about from the fact that I became ill in 1927 and had to stop working for some 7 or 8 months. And after talking with my uncle, Albert H. Elliott, my mother's brother, who was a practicing attorney in San Francisco, had been from sometime in the early 90s, and I started studying law at night in the San Francisco Law School, which is a night law school, and still is a well-known law school in San Francisco, still a night school. We had many teachers who were prominent members of the bar, some who were judges, or later became judges, and it has and still has a very high reputation. And I started school in 1928, February. Finished in 1931, was admitted to practice about June 1935-1931. I've been in my practice in my own name for my own right since that time.
Oh, well, I know it. You're my lawyer. Kent, would you pick it up on what were you went the year you graduated there was another fraternity. Well, I want to get back to the fraternity again. Elliot, didn't you, weren't you a member of some other fraternity over there, a professional one? I know your brother was. Well, Kent, you go ahead and talk about your...
Well, let him finish that up there. We should talk about that.
I don't...
You don't know?
I was a member of Wing and Helmet, but...
You're a member of the Big Sea Society.
Oh, I became crew manager in spring of 1924. Last 6 months of my college career, served as crew manager and received a Big C for that service. I had been in that, working in as a manager from my sophomore year, as assistant manager, I say, for my sophomore year, 3 years.
Kent, will you pick it up from on your end of it, will you?
Well, Brother Elliot has already given you a record of our attendance. So we went to college, and at the end of 1 year, I was taken sick with rheumatism and had to stay out of college for 1 year so that I did not graduate then when I returned until 1925. My work was in the colleges of letters and science, which I graduated, but all of my work therein was done in compliance with the College of Commerce Department. As that was the end of the business end, is what I was interested in at that time. I might say that I might have graduated from the College of Commerce except for the lack of a degree in certain courses of language. I had had sufficient language courses in the high school that would take me through the LNS, Letters and Science. And as I hated languages, I remained in LNS but took all my courses in the College of Commerce. During that time, I was a member of the Honor Society for the College of Commerce, which was the Alpha Kappa Psi, which I'm a life member today. Like my brother, I belonged to Wing and Helmet. I was an honorary society for sophomores at the University of California. I spent 3 years as assistant football manager, which was of great interest to me. Happened to be during the times of our great coach Andy Smith and the California Wonder Team. And I like to recall that many of those members of that team are my personal friends today.
I might correct my previous statement. I was graduated in letters and science, but with an economic major and a mathematic minor.
Kent, what did you do when you got out of... college?
When I graduated from college and seeking an occupation in business, my folks sent me to see George Elliott Hunt, who was a neighbor, an old-time neighbor of ours in Mill Valley in the early days, and who had made quite a record in the insurance business in San Francisco. He in turn sent me to Arthur Holman, who was then the resident manager for Northern California for the Travelers Insurance Company. And I became a floor broker with them from 1925 through 1929, a period of 4 years from September even. I then joined the firm of Chapman and Company, which was owned by close friends of mine, and was associated with them until the year 1945, when they sold their company. I did not wish to go along with the new company, and so I took a position offered to me as casualty promotion manager for Northern California for Cravens, Dargan and Company. However, at the end of 1 year, I decided to go in business for myself again as a broker, and joined with my old friend Horace Cagwin, whom I had really started in the insurance business some years previous. We had offices in San Francisco until 1947. When we opened a branch office in the city of Mill Valley. At that time, Bill Hamilton, who was interrogating me right now regarding these questions, had just come out of the service from retirement, with retirement, and we persuaded him to open a real estate office with us rather than go back to his old position in San Francisco. That
was about 1947.
This was in July of 1947, and became the firm of Cagwin, Seymour, and Hamilton, three good boys who had grown up together in Marin County. A long and lasting friendship and business. About 12 years ago from this date, which is what year there was, Bill?
About 12 years ago.
I had opened a branch office for our firm in Kentfield, California, Kentfield, Marin County, California, and later took over this particular office as my own business. And Bill and Horace took the Mill Valley office. I then took in another partner by the name of Wallace Hickman, and we were in business until January 1st of 1974. January 1st, 1974, when the firm was sold.
I should make one comment in approximately January, February of 1927. I had decided to leave F.W. Wentworth Company and give notice to them, going into the insurance brokerage business with my brother, Kent Seymour, who was then had an office with the Travelers Insurance Company under Arthur S.
Under the firm of Seymour and Seymour.
We already had stationery and everything when I was taken ill, and it was during that period that I changed my mind. I got interested, rather, I didn't change my mind, but became interested in the law, and started a school and liked it so well that I decided to continue on and complete my law school education. Consequently, Seymour and Seymour didn't get together in business.
Didn't get off the ground, and all that paper that we had printed, ever lost everything, became scratch pad.
I would like to just go flicker back to your time in college. They used to have theatrical performances, and as I recall, you two guys
Big had Sea Circus.
You had a quick change artist with one would be on the stage, the other would dodge behind the screen, and then the one that was on the stage would go over, and 5 seconds later he'd come out in an entirely different set of clothing. And I think that threw a great many people. Anyway, let's get back to the club affiliations. Elliot, what are your club affiliations?
Well, we
let's start.
Both of us joined the Mill Valley Lines.
You mean the Masons? Huh?
Masons, Masonic Lines of Mill Valley, Lodge number 356.
F and A.M.
As I recall, in 1937, we've been members of that ever since, and also became our now members of Islam Temple of the Shrine I was a member in 1933 for 20 years of the Olympic Club. I resigned from that in about 1955 when my wife and I moved to Marin County. About 2 years later, I became a member of the San Francisco Press Club. That was about 1955 or 6, and I'm still a member there. In fact, I was a member of the admissions committee. Also, became a member of the Merchants Exchange Club, really through my brother, who was had become a member some 2 or 3 years earlier. I believe I was admitted in about, became a member in about 1947. And I'm still a member of that club.
Aren't you the president?
I was...
Or last year?
President 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yes.
Well, you've left out one. You know, you were an old politico for a while, weren't you? Marin County Republican Central Committee?
As a matter of fact, yes. About 19, approximately 38 or 39, through my good friend Mr. William H. Hamilton.
Oh, not me.
did become chairman of the Marin County Republican Central Committee.
As the interviewer on this interview, I negligently left out this incident. In 1913, Mr. Walter Durbrow, the chief attorney of the Southern Pacific Railway, and Mrs. Flo Reynolds, the postmistress of Mill Valley, were both invited up to the Seymour Camp in Gurnwood Park. They both took the narrow gauge railroad to Monterio, and they both walked the 5 miles back on the broad gauge road to Gurnwood Park. En route, they were walking a 300-foot trestle, and unexpectedly, a freight train came along. They both tried to seek safety on one of the old-fashioned water barrel platforms, but there wasn't room. Mr. Durbrow, a cripple, very gallantly hung by his hands as the freight train rumbled past. Somehow, Mrs. Reynolds managed to pull him back up after the train had passed. That night, before the Seymour campfire, they had a thrilling story to tell. Mr. Durbrow, as a boy, had ridden a bicycle down a long flight of steps and had broken both knees. This item is filled in after the interview on the tail end of a tape.
Sorry. Having this past family history in the Masonic Order, it was somewhat natural for me and for my brother as well to have become interested in the Masonic Order those days. I had the good fortune of serving one of the appointive honorary positions, stations, in the Grand Lodge of California in the year 1950, which was the centennial year of Masonry in California. I later became the inspector for the 51st Masonic District, which encompassed Marin County today, and of which my father had been inspector for some 20 years previous. After my retirement from the inspectorship, I was appointed to the Masonic Homes Endowment Board, where I served for some 9 years. This was a very happy association all the way through, and I have made many friends whom I cherish.
Would you guys kind of give us some memories of your of Mill Valley over the years? You remember as it was and as it's changed? Because you both have long, long memories of the town.
Well, one thing I would like to mention is the fact that some people don't believe that you can remember things when you're this young as we were at the time. But I remember well, and I'm sure my brother does, the 1906 earthquake, which occurred between 5 and 5:30 in the morning. And this happens to be an anniversary date, April 18th, 1906. And I can remember we were just short of our fourth birthday, having been born on July 10th, 1902. And I can remember distinctly our parents picking us up, taking us outside, down the stairs and out in the backyard, and so the trembling of the earthquake was over, and I can then remember sitting on the front porch of our home at 95 Oakdale Avenue in Mill Valley and watching the flames and the smoke of San Francisco burning.
Well, I always thought you had a good memory.
One memory you're off of, the address was 87 Oakdale Avenue.
87 Oakdale.
Okay.
We all remember in that fire, too, and as you say, it
happened. Can you remember it, Kent?
Well, I remember what Brother has just said. That's the only part I remember of it. No, Dad took us over some months later to see what the devastation was in San Francisco, but it was, I don't really recollect that because it didn't impress us at that particular time. I do remember that for a period of a week or more, we lived on the lower floor of the house, afraid of a reoccurrence. Mattresses were brought down and put in the dining room and the living room floor, and the whole family lived there until we were satisfied that it was safe to go upstairs. The only damage done to our house, as I remember, was quite a bit of cracking of plaster, which had to be repaired later years, and the chimney on the outside collapsed and fell.
To the ground?
To the ground, that's right.
Also, a bottle of castor oil on the shelf in the bathroom fell off and broke.
Well, that did. You and I were very happy when that happened.
I bet you were. Do you remember what downtown Mill Valley, have any memories of that? What were the streets
like?
Well,
the things I remember, of course, in those early days, which would make it so much different in the day. In the first place, there were only, when we were born, there were only about 1,000 residents there, which today, of course, is around 12 or 14,000. But the main thing would be with regard to the streets. They were all very narrow, and having been broadened, of course, somewhat in later years, widened in later years. They were not paved as we know pavement today. And when we walked from our house downtown, which was down a couple of hills and then up to the level and then for several blocks into town. We didn't have sidewalks as we know them today. They were boardwalks with a handrail. And they were 2x12 planks, two of them laid alongside of each other, and that's the way you got down, because in the wintertime you couldn't get out in the streets in your feet, but it was several inches deep in mud from the unpaved streets. I think when you look at it today, well, it's an entirely different picture when you have paved sidewalks and paved streets. And I think it was great when we finally got paved sidewalks, because just two blocks down was Buena Vista Avenue, and this became our skating rink and where we played baseball and a few other things that we couldn't have done if the streets hadn't been changed.
Have you any recollections, Elliot?
Well, speaking of the sidewalks, also in the cold weather and frosty season of the year, in the early spring, those wooden sidewalks were covered with frost, and you had to be very, very careful in walking on the sidewalks. It was dangerous.
When you were...
I also remember one other thing, too, but I think about the station, when the old station house, which I'm sure you probably have a copy in your records now, the Historical Society. You remember what I'm talking about, with the station master's residence above it. Right where the present station is, but this was one of the old,
Victorian
type of building. I can always remember that one wall on the inside had paints on it. This was just under the roof. And our parents, and they went to work in those early mornings. And in those days, they went to work at 5 and 6 in the morning in order to get over to San Francisco early, because offices opened at 7 and 7:30 and 8 o'clock. We had no street lights. So each father or parent who went to work carried a hand lantern of either a candle or a coil burner down to work, to the station.
To light his way
in the dark, because most of the parents left in the dark, particularly in the winter. They hung those on a peg which was assigned to them in the wall of the station. When they came back at night, there was their lamp, they lit it and walked home. Something I doubt could happen today. If you left the lamp there today, it wouldn't be there 24 hours, 12 hours.
You're not kidding.
As a matter of fact, in those days, people went away for the summer and never locked their doors. And that's true.
That's true. We never locked our house up. We went up the Russian River.
You mentioned the Russian River, would you want to talk about that for a second?
Well, I might go back to one other incident prior to that. In the year 1907, and I'm reminded of that because as a prediction, we might have a shortage of water this year in Marin County. There was a shortage of water in the summer of 1907, and the water was turned on for an hour in the morning. People could fill cooking utensils with water, and that was about it. And so my mother and father arranged for us to spend the summer in Inverness at a home that was owned by some very old friends of my mother's and father's. And that was our first summer away from home, away from Mill Valley.
Brother, actually, we didn't go up there until September when schools opened. We didn't go there for that summer, that particular year. But when the schools opened, around the 1st of September, the water was so short that they had to close the schools for over 30 days. And the families were asked if it were possible for them to get out of Mill Valley for a period of time until they could make arrangements and get more water, and in order to ease the situation, so families that could were moved out temporarily, and we were able to obtain this place of old friends in Inverness, and Inverness had sufficient water at the time.
Tell me, Kent,
so we spent 30
days. Went up there, Old Point Reyes Station, That's the way you went. It was a narrow gauge railroad, wasn't it?
Well, I'm sure that's probably where how we must have gotten there, Bill. We didn't own an automobile in those days.
No,
I assure you, and I can't remember whether they had a stage or not. I can remember, of course, that maybe Walker Durbin might have arranged for us to go up on the old narrow gauge. I'm not sure.
It was a narrow gauge.
Because we did go up there at one time and spent a wonderful day on Inverness Beach as a guest of Walker Durbin, chief consul of the Southern Pacific. He, in those days, was able to get a private car attached, and he took the whole of a lot of his friends and neighbors, and we had a great day up there. And it was a great day for my brother and me, because we were able to allow to sit up with the engineer in the caboose.
Tell me, the narrow gauge went on up to where?
Went on up to Monterio? No, it went through Occidental, Monterio, and to Duncan's Mill, the same termination as the broad gauge, which went up and down the Russian River the other way.
Well, tell us about Gurnard Farm.
Well, we our family went to Gurnard Park the first year, 1909, for 2 months. And we had a large camp at Gurnard Park, and we went up there every year
through the summer of 1920.
Through the summer of 1920.
Right.
It was a rather a large campsite. We had the same campsite every year. During that period of time, they built three tree houses on the old redwood stumps. My mother and father were able to accommodate some 40 people over a weekend. A lot of children from Mill Valley of our ages were spent their summers with us. And there were a good many families in Marin County that also during that period of time, subsequent to
Mill Valley in particular.
Mill Valley, who had camps and lived up there during the summer months. I can think of the McConnell family,
Barbara,
who are our next door neighbors, the Helmores, who are our next door neighbors in Mill Valley on the west side of us, the Burton family, who I believe the Wyckoffs were up there.
The Wyckoffs had a camp up Jack there for a while, and the Barber family.
And the Barber family of Mill Valley.
The Burton family, brother, had a cottage up there,
yes,
where they were, and they were related to my father on his mother's side, the Osborne family.
Fred Burton, he was...
No, we're talking about Burton. Burton was no relation.
Burton. Fred Burton, I'm talking about.
Yeah, but he
used to go up there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, they used to come up with us a lot, Bill. Yeah. They didn't have a place up there.
He used to play
Mother and Dad did a lot of their entertaining up there in the summertime with friends, people like that, like Fred Burton.
He was a big-wig ice hockey player for the Toronto Stars, or one of the big teams.
That's correct. Canadian.
Canadian.
The late Maple Leaf Forever. I can hear him sing it yet.
Yeah.
I think it might be well to state, too, Bill, in my early days in Mill Valley, we can both remember when the steam trains came into Mill Valley. And I can remember when on Sundays, when the hikers came over, they had double headers that would come in on Sunday morning. And also more than one section of the train. They'd have a train headed by two steam engines, and then maybe an hour apart would have a half hour, would be a second, sometimes a third section came in to bring hikers in the valley. Then when it became an electric railroad, and I'm not sure, Bill, you'd remember around 1906 or 7, would you say?
Yes.
That it was became
electrified.
Right, see, when I was thinking about the old steam railroads, I had the first or second time that we did it, and probably was only a couple of years in a row, but they used to hold a great big May Day event at Kentfield, where a portion of the College of Marin is now situated. It was known as the Tamalpais Center in those days. And I can remember going up there all the way by steam train to that affair, and we were in grammar school, and then we had to go out and dance the maypole dance around one of those flags. And I don't know, as boys, I'm not sure we were very happy about it.
I'm sure you weren't. Tell me, for somebody who might not remember now, but to get to Mill Valley, from Mill Valley to San Rafael in the early days, how'd you go?
You had to go down to El Monte, just below the junction by past high school, and you changed trains there. You got off and you waited till another one came from Sausalito going north.
Well,
you could transfer at that point. You didn't have to go all the way to Sausalito always. At certain times of the day, you probably had to go clear to Sausalito in order to make a change.
But if you went other than the train, how did you go?
Well, I don't ever remember doing it. We didn't have an automobile. They had stagecoaches that did run.
They had carriages.
They had carriages or stagecoaches.
And where did they go from let us say, Mill Valley?
So we had some that ran over to the Stinson Beach in Bolinas.
That's westbound.
Yeah. I mean, no, they used to have to go over the, what would be the old Alto Hill now, is Camino Real.
The Cordomadera Grade.
Or Cordomadera Grade. Into
going backward on education, I have been interested, as my whole family have, in public education in particular. And I served for one term on the elementary school in Mill Valley from 1948 to 51. Then in 1959, my partner, Mr. William A. Hamilton, decided to go to Europe for a year, and he saw to it that I was encompassed as his, to take his place on the College of Marin board as a trustee.
I recommended you.
And
that's my sole contribution.
Well, I think it might be advisable to...
I served there for 7 years. Going back on this, I might also state that my father had served on the board from shortly after the college was instituted until the year 1926, and he served as a...
He was on the first board of trustees of the Marin Junior College.
Right? Oh. Did you take
it? I was...
Well, pardon me for just a second. I think that we ought to make a point here. This doesn't happen very often, but Mr. Seymour Sr. and Kent, his eldest son by 15 minutes, and his second son, Elliot, were all members of this trustee, so let's go of the board of the Marin County Junior College. But it doesn't happen very often. Personally, I think they ought to name one of the buildings after the Seymour family.
That completes this conversation.